Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and the chance we get to hear the testimonies of those getting baptized later this morning. Right now, as we hear them share what it means that all they have is Christ, we thank you for being a good and a gracious Savior and letting us as a church family see these and hear of these demonstrations of your kindness in people's lives. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as you likely know, this morning is our baptism service. And this first service, we'll actually just get to hear the testimonies of the baptisms. We're so excited to hear those who are getting baptized share their testimonies with us. And then in the second service, we'll actually get to watch them get baptized. Because there's eight of them, we don't have time for a whole sermon. So just a brief encouragement. So after service, you can meet them. You can, you know, congratulate them on what is one of the biggest moments in their lives. And then you can thank them for keeping the service short. So, but this is an especially special service for our family because Caleb, our oldest son, is actually getting baptized. And I thought it'd be kind of funny if I told like an embarrassing story about him, right? But then I thought, no, this is kind of a special day. Like I could talk about how when he was little, he would tell people he spoke Chinese because he watched Ni Hao Kai Lan. But again, it's like it doesn't seem right. Like this is not that day. Or be like more embarrassing if I told like a story more recently, right? Like how he got his license and, we live like 8 minutes from here. He's been to this building 1,000 times and used Google Maps to get here. But I mean, but it'd be messed up if I told those kind of stories. So not today. As a side note, he told me to say this because he thought it'd be funny. So he's a good sport. But it's a special day. We are thankful for God's grace in his life. And really, as a church family, we're excited for each one of those who are getting baptized this morning. And so with that, it's a particular grace for me to offer a brief encouragement, not only to those who are getting baptized, but really to all of us. And so for those of you who are getting baptized this morning, it might seem like this is kind of the start of new things. But really, I want to encourage you to do something that you were doing actually even before you got saved. And that's to pursue God. Now, that may sound odd, but realize that before you were saved, your life was the pursuit of a God, but now you're saved, your life is the pursuit of the God. And so let me explain what I mean. In Romans 1, it talks about the idea that all of humanity was made for God, to love and to worship him above all things. But in the sin and brokenness of our hearts, we'll pour our love and our trust and our worship elsewhere. As Romans 1:25 says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. In other words, we'll try to find in the creation what we're meant to find in the creator. This is because we were hardwired in our spiritual DNA to know and enjoy and find our hope in the God of the universe. But if we don't look to him, we'll simply look elsewhere. If we don't trust in the one true God, we'll make a God out of something else. So while Scripture says that no one seeks for the one true God, it tells us that everyone seeks a God. Again, everyone seeks God. And this isn't just about other religions, because really people's pursuit of happiness and peace and contentment are simply their pursuit of God. Does that make sense? Usually on baptism Sundays, we have a lot of visitors, and we could not be more thankful that you're here. So if you're not a Christian, just think about your pursuit of the right relationship or the perfect vacation or possessions and financial security or the incredible meal or the some version of success or achievement or the admiration of others or how you try to find meaning in your appearance or job or title or the success of your kids. Among a myriad of other things, you hope they will make you happy. But do you realize that's your pursuit of God? Right? You're trying to find the peace only Christ provides. You're looking to the creation with the hopes that you'll find the creator. As one author says, you're looking for the gift to be the giver. But those pursuits will never amount to what you truly seek. Whatever temporal happiness the world offers will always be fleeting because you were made by God, for God, to find your full and final joy in God. And understand, it's not that the things of the world are bad. Rather, they're often good things, but they're meant to point to greater things. Does that make sense? Right, that perfect bite of steak, that sunrise over the ocean, that special time with family, that trip to the mountains. They are given to us by God, who, as the Bible says, richly provides us with everything to enjoy. In other words, they're not an end in themselves, but an indicator of something greater. They're not the source of the joys of life, but they're the joys meant to point to the source of life. Again, most simply, the blessings of this world aren't meant to be God, but to point us to God. And yet, understand that the greatest problem actually isn't that you won't find the joy and peace that you're seeking. It's that our sin puts us at odds with God. In other words, our sin creates a divide between us and the God of the universe, and that's why we need the gospel that baptism displays. The gospel simply says that God made us to be in a loving relationship with him, and because we're all sinners, we've broken his law, and so we deserve eternal punishment. We kind of talked about this a lot recently, but that idea that death happens to 100% of people should lend gravity to the idea that we're going to stand before God one day and answer for our lives. And just to think about that moment, right, there'll be no question if God exists. There'll be no question, like, does it matter what we did in life, or is the Bible true, or is Jesus who he said he is? In that moment, we'll be standing before the creator of the universe, and we'll be absolutely convinced of our own guilt. But the good news of the gospel says that in love, Jesus went to the cross and to take the punishment you and I deserve, right? That's what he was doing on the cross. For those who put their trust in him, he was suffering the punishment we have earned. I mean, can you imagine? He suffered like he lived my life with all its sin and all its ugliness so that I could be called a son of God. And then he rose from the dead as proof that he conquered sin and death. And actually, that's the gospel that baptism puts on display. Like every baptism service, I try to explain what baptism is. Years ago, I used a baseball illustration that I thought knocked it out of the park, pun intended. And so I asked my son, he was probably about 9 at the time, what he thought, and he said, I didn't really get it. And I said, I feel like it was pretty clear. And he said, quote, no, I don't think other people got it either. So that's what every pastor needs, is preaching advice from a 9-year-old. So I'm not going to use a baseball illustration, but just understand that baptism, it doesn't earn us anything. It displays the gospel. Right, Romans 6:4 says this, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. It's saying Jesus died for me, his death was my death, and then he rose from the grave and I rose from death to new life. So think about that, I should literally be cursed for my sins, Jesus was cursed for me. I should suffer hell for my sins. Jesus suffered hell for me. I should be separated from God for my sins. Jesus was separated for me. And then in grace, Jesus said, my death, my resurrection, they are yours. Baptism then is this incredible picture that as we go under the water, that we died with Christ. And when we surface, it's like we were resurrected with Christ. So it's not simply a religious ritual or a means to earn God's favor. Again, it doesn't earn us anything. People aren't saved because they're baptized, but it's this picture, this beautiful picture of the gospel. So if you don't know Christ, I hope you realize that the gospel put on display through baptism is the gospel that can save and change you. Back to those who are getting baptized, realize then this gospel that you're confessing and that you're displaying through your baptism means that you can turn from searching for a God in this world or making a God of this world to pursuing Christ, the true God of the universe. And so while your whole life has been the pursuit of a God, as believers, you get to pursue the God. And understand, when I say pursue God, I mean so much more than, you know, like try to be a good person or make sure you go to church or now you're required to give or to serve. Because if that's all that God means to you, then you'll simply do what the unbelieving culture does. Pursue in the world what you're meant to find in Jesus. You'll make a God out of your education and jobs and see it as a source of identity. You'll make a God out of your money and possessions and see them as a source of security. You'll make a God out of your future plans and see it as your source of hope. You'll make a God out of your morality and see it as your source of justification. And you'll make a God out of your relationships and see that as a source of meaning and purpose. But these are all like drinking from a mirage. You were meant to find your soul's satisfaction in Christ. As Jesus told the woman at the well who was trying to find her hope in relationships, he offers the living water that means your soul will never be thirsty again. And so my point is this, in encouraging you to pursue Christ, I'm telling you so much more than try to be a good Christian. I'm encouraging you to find your peace and your joy in Jesus. Because in pursuing Christ, I'm not telling you to give up on the good life, rather to pursue the better one. In Christ, you will ultimately find what you're searching for and really what you're needing. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 84:10, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere." Think about that. One day with Jesus is better than 1,000 elsewhere. That's why David wrote in Psalm 63, "Your steadfast love, it's better than life." No matter what life is trying to tell you, it's trying to offer you, God's love is so, so much better. That's why Paul writes in Philippians 3:8, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." So get that, whatever Paul had, it was garbage compared to knowing Jesus. And so just understand, Jesus isn't right. He is better, so much better, infinitely better. So pursue him above all things by seeking to know Christ as a real person, trusting in his promises, finding refuge in his goodness and greatness, and living each moment in light of his love and his holiness. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the kindness of our Savior, Lord. We deserve hell, and he was willing to die in our place. And yet we thank you, too, that the Christian life is now not just about road to obedience or doing good things, Lord, but it's finding our soul satisfaction in our Savior. It's not giving up on the good life, but pursuing the better one. And so I pray for those who are getting baptized this morning, as well as for the rest of us, that we would find our greatest love, our greatest hope, put our greatest faiths in Christ. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, so this service, you get to hear each candidate share their testimony. And so it's really a privilege. And I just, as you listen, my encouragement is kind of listen for grace. Just listen for the story of God's grace in each of their lives. And for the first four, we'll get to hear Yi Sum Mak, Lauren Chang, Danielle Hirano, and Sophia Pack.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Yi Sum, and I'm so excited to be able to share my testimony with you today. So I was born into a Christian home, and I knew of God from a very young age. I memorized Bible verses, served in church, and prayed before meals, sometimes less if I was really hungry. My life was Christian in routine, but I nursed doubts about my faith even as a kid. My brother passed away from cancer when I was 2, forcing me to ponder very early on why things happen the way that they do. I still accepted what I was taught about God in Sunday school, but saw him as uninvolved as opposed to loving, and didn't give much thought to my personal relationship with him. Though I called myself a Christian, I was content to relegate God to the distant corners of my world. I distanced myself from my Christian identity as I grew older, preferring to search for fulfillment and purpose in friendships, extracurriculars, sports, and academics. I harbored a vague sense of survivor's guilt and felt that I needed to prove myself worthy of life. I pursued earthly achievements, thinking that I'd be deserving if I tried really, really hard. If I succeeded in anything, I'd pat myself on the back and tell myself that it was a result of my hard work. Predictably, my I can do it all attitude wasn't sustainable. I started experiencing depression and feelings of intense hopelessness in high school. No matter how hard I tried, I still didn't feel worthy. Despite this, I still thought that I could do it if I just tried harder. I tried to control what I could, taking more AP classes, dropping said AP classes, missing school, but nothing I did helped to abate my growing anxiety or appease the voice inside my head that said, "You aren't enough." I viewed college as a fresh start, but the truth is that I just kept trying to prove myself through superficial things. I desperately sought fulfillment in partying, career, and relationships. Every counterfeit joy came to an inevitable and painful end. Yet I was convinced that I could bring myself out of this darkness. I was constantly angry, and I was so, so tired. My physical, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion was overwhelming. I felt helpless, devoid of purpose, and unworthy of living. When the pandemic started, I was forced to move home and slow down. I saw with startling clarity not only how far into darkness I'd stumbled, but also how comfortable I'd become with my own depravity. My sin had governed me entirely. My anger raged violently when what I wanted was challenged. My feelings of inadequacy embittered me towards others. I was broken with the effort of looking inward for strength and guidance and never finding it. I held God in contempt and screamed at him that I knew best. I finally saw my heart as it was, deceitful and desperately sick. I started receiving biblical counseling through Lighthouse last year, and it's been a huge grace in my life. Along with the guidance, friendship, and prayer of wise and faithful women around me, it's helped me see and repent from my sin and accept my need for God's saving grace. So now I'm overwhelmed not by my own inadequacy, but by the all-encompassing sufficiency of Jesus and the truth of his overflowing love for me. On the days that I tell God he must have made a mistake in keeping me around, he firmly reminds me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that all the days he has ordained for me are written in his book. Where I once groaned under the pain and guilt of my sin, and it felt like all my labor went nowhere, I now rest in the knowledge that my sins are covered by Christ's sacrifice and that he carries my burdens for me. When I hated myself for everything I couldn't do, God reminds me that his power is made perfect in my weakness. Where I once feared abandonment due to my inability to prove myself worthy, I now have comfort in knowing that my merciful and loving God will never leave me. Insisting on my sinful self-reliance almost drowned me, but Christ's suffering and death on the cross has saved me from drowning like that for all eternity. Jesus rescues me from having to prove myself before God or people. Because of his loving sacrifice, I now have a hope and a future. I'm invited in to spend a better eternity with God. My heart can finally be at peace because I've been freed to worship and lean on God instead of myself, and to finally know what real joy is by placing my trust in him. Thank you.
Hi, church family. I'm Lauren, and I'll be sharing my testimony today. So growing up, my family never really attended church, besides going a few times when I was in elementary school. My idea of God before was some higher being that would always listen to me whenever I needed someone to talk to. There were times where I would tell God about my day before going to bed, but most of the time I would turn my frustrations to him whenever something didn't go my way. I honestly didn't see a need for God. I felt like I was a good person who was obedient, studious, thoughtful, and kind. Most of my life revolved around myself, school, friends, and family. I didn't think there was much more to life than that. During my senior year of high school, I visited a couple churches with my family and by invitation of a friend. So I decided that I would consider seeking out Christianity when I started at UCLA. By God's grace, I found a Christian fellowship called AACF. I heard the gospel for the first time there. But being a college student not yet rooted in faith, I chased after worldly pleasures, feeling stuck between having fun in college and being a Christian. However, things really started to change at winter retreat during my freshman year. It was then when I truly understood the gospel and what it meant for me as a sinner. The speaker was simply going over the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, and I realized how I fell short of every single one of them. For the first time in my life, God revealed to me how sinful I truly was and how desperately I needed a Savior. Immediately, I turned to God, repented of my sins, and asked for forgiveness. I understood that Christ suffered and died on the cross, allowing me, an undeserving sinner, to receive the free gift of eternal life. God has been softening my heart over the years to finally trust in Christ as my Lord and Savior in that moment. It was also at retreat where I learned about devotional time with the Lord. I remember looking around confused when everyone started reading their Bibles because no one announced a specific passage to turn to. That's when I realized that I could spend time in his word and grow my own personal relationship with him. I no longer live my life for myself, but rather I live it in light of what Christ has done for me. I look to Christ and how he came to this earth as a servant to love and serve others for the glory of his heavenly Father. And because of that, God has allowed me to find joy in loving and serving others and placing their needs before mine. I also know that God has called me to share the gospel with my own family. It's been such a grace to share conversations about Jesus, occasionally watch Sunday service together, and pray before meals. God has also blessed me with Ashley, my apartment mate and closest friend. These past 2 years, she's been by my side as we discuss our current spiritual struggles, share what we learn in our personal devos, talk through Sunday service messages, and point one another to Christ. As new challenges arise in life, I find ultimate comfort in knowing that God is constantly working within me for my good and his glory. While I still have my ups and downs in my spiritual walk, God is always reminding me that Jesus is better. Thank you.
Hey everybody, I'm Danielle Hirano, and I'm very excited to be able to share my testimony with you guys today. So I was born and raised into a Christian family. I've been surrounded by other Christians all my life, whether it was a family member or a friend. There's not one day out of my whole life where I didn't have a Christian in it. As a young child, I just went to church because my parents took me with them, but I liked it because I got to eat snacks and play with my friends. At the age of 5, I accepted Christ into my heart, and I asked for forgiveness of my sins with the help of my mom, but I didn't really understand what I was doing or what any of it really meant, but I knew it was something that my parents had done and that they wanted me to do it as well, so I did. After this, my life didn't really seem like it changed as I was so young. I just continued to live my life as I had done previously. Elementary and middle school flew by, and it wasn't until around 7th grade that I started to see how kids began to use foul language and they gossiped a lot, and I knew I needed something or someone to lean on in my life. In 7th grade, I went to my first ever youth retreat, and it was the first time where I really thought seriously about Jesus and my own faith. I began to pray more, and I read my Bible more, and I tried to lead a life that pleased the Lord. Middle school went by without any major struggles, and I felt that I had a good relationship with God. But my freshman year of high school was when I began to truly struggle in my walk with God. So my dad has this disease called autosomal dominant leukodystrophy, shortened as ADLD, and it basically makes it really hard for his brain to send signals to the rest of his body, and it makes everyday things extremely difficult for him to do. And he began to really go downhill around that time, freshman year, and it was really tough for me to just see him be so weak and always be relying on help and calling me all the time to help him. That year, I just became really frustrated, and which is how my life was going, and I just became really angry and mad at God. I didn't understand why he had created such a hard situation for me, and I just became very negative and pessimistic in my outlooks on my everything, on just like everything in my life overall. It wasn't until my sophomore year winter retreat where God just reopened my eyes back to him, and he showed me that I wasn't alone in my struggles and that I really needed to trust him and trust his plan and that it was good. However, despite this moment of clarity, I quickly fell back into my life of sin and selfishness in my senior year of high school, and I continued to just indulge a lot in my sins with little regret of it or thought about God. In the summer, before going off to college, I had an opportunity to go on a missions trip over in Osaka, Japan, and it actually became a really huge turning point in my life. During one of our debriefing sessions at night, toward the end of the trip, I became just extremely overwhelmed with just guilt and sorrow over my own sins and the way I'd been living my life. I just completely broke down, just like in a panic, just in front of the whole team. And my youth pastor, who had been leading the trip, just took me outside. He talked with me, he prayed with me, and he just allowed me to just explain everything that was going on in my life. And in that moment, I just really felt my full depravity of my sin and just how much I needed God. And I truly wanted to dedicate my life to God from that moment. So last year in 2020, I transferred over to UCLA. And I was blessed to be able to join an amazing fellowship called Grace on Campus, where I have learned so much and I've grown a lot. Every day, I am reminded of the grace that God continually bestows upon me and of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for such a sinful and undeserving human like me. And with an ever-changing world, I just know I have a constant in my life that will never, ever change, and that is God. And I'm just so grateful and thankful for him and all that he's blessed me with throughout my life. And so I'm just really excited to finally be getting baptized and just to declare my love and devotion to the Lord. And yeah, so thank you.
Good morning, Lighthouse. My name is Sophia. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share my testimony with you today. I grew up going to Catholic Church and remember diligently attending Mass every Sunday with my family from a young age. At my mother's urging, I even received First Communion, but had no understanding behind any of my actions except that I was supposed to obey my mother's wishes. When I entered college, I desired to find my niche within church and tried out both Catholic and Christian ministries, only to feel lost. Church attendance became minimal as I became overwhelmed by school and career, but the feeling of eventually wanting to return to church quietly continued to linger. Over the next decade, I watched as countless friends dated and married, and by my late 20s, I was officially deemed the token single friend of my social circles. Why am I not loved, I would wonder, as I tried to put on a brave face. Then in 2014, I became engaged and thought my struggles were finally over. Though my fiancé and I had attended church together here and there while dating, I suddenly felt that it was important to attend more regularly once married and brought this to his attention. To my surprise, he responded with a firm no, and my heart sank. I had waited for so long to be married and feel validated, feel that I was loved and worthwhile, but it would be at the cost of my relationship with God. Which was more important? Which was I supposed to choose? Ultimately, the engagement dissolved, and though I felt relieved on one hand, the idea of enduring singleness again scared me. It was at this time that my friend Erwin suggested I try going back to church and offered to take me to service. Confused and embarrassed, I sat through my first service at Lighthouse, unable to understand the sermon, but as soon as worship began, I broke into tears. The love that others felt for Christ was immediately palpable, something that I had never felt before during all my years in Mass, and it was then that I realized what I had been missing from my life for so long. While receiving biblical counseling, I realized that I had been falsely placing hope in worldly aspirations instead of in God's truth. God opened my eyes to see not just the sinfulness of my own heart and desires, but also the greater sacrifice of God's love and forgiveness. As I studied the gospel, my heart slowly began to soften and change, and I recognized my need for God's grace. Reflecting back, I'm able to see that God has always loved me and continues to love me throughout my struggles and even through my singleness. Because of the blessing of singleness, I was able to devote my attention back to Christ, to spend time growing and nurturing my relationship with Him devoid of distractions, and for that I'm forever grateful. Through the teachings at Lighthouse, I've also learned that all of God's children have dignity and purpose, married or not, even if society says otherwise. And it gives me an inner peace and strength to live out the life that He's orchestrated for me to the best of my ability. Life did not suddenly become easy or perfect after turning to God by any means, but by His grace, I'm learning to trust in Him with all my heart, leaning not on my own understanding, in all my ways submitting to Him, and that He will make my path straight. Thank you.
Good morning, Lighthouse Church family. My name is Amy Yu, and I'm excited to share my testimony with you all this morning. Growing up, I was not raised in a Christian home or community, and my parents got divorced when I was in middle school. My mom became a Christian around the time I was in elementary school and occasionally read me stories from the Bible. I particularly remember learning about how our faith needed to be the size of a mustard seed and thinking that if a mustard seed is so small, then having faith was very simple. However, I had a poor understanding of the gospel, and I didn't see myself as a sinner. Instead, I saw God as a genie I would pray to when I wanted something. Sometimes the requests I made were fulfilled the way I wanted them to be. I prayed for years for a dog and got one for my 12th birthday, and others were not. I often prayed for my parents to reconcile, but they never did. Other than that, I had little exposure to Christianity until high school. I didn't have any Christian friends growing up, but in high school, all of a sudden, many of my friends were Christians. I realize now that God graciously put them into my life to slowly show me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. At that time, I don't think it had all clicked yet, but I was at least placed in the pathways of grace through my friends. By the time I entered college, I wanted to find a Christian fellowship, but I didn't find one that I particularly liked right away, so I stopped looking. Besides, there were the new and daunting commitments of being a college student and living away from home for the first time, and I was in a dating relationship with someone at another school. I had fully bought into the lie that what I needed most was a respectable job and relationship to make me happy. I became wrapped up in my academic success and invested the remainder of my time into my relationship. I pridefully thought that I was fully in control of my own success and concerned myself with maintaining an image of the perfect life. However, God showed me that nothing I have is from my own ability and that everything is a gift from Him. Just as easily as He can give, He can also take things away. Shortly after my freshman year, situations changed, and it felt like both my grades and relationship, which I thought I had control over, fell short of my expectations. I became disappointed and devastated at the time, realizing that the idols I trusted in were unable to satisfy me. God graciously began to show me the ways that I sinned against others, but more importantly, how I have sinned against God Himself. Verses such as 1 John 1:8 through 9 helped me understand this further, as it reads, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I began to study God's word and praying that he would cleanse me from unrighteousness. I prayed for faith the size of a mustard seed, no longer thinking I could achieve that on my own and knowing that without God's grace, this is an impossible task. Conversations with sisters at Lighthouse and AACF at USC allowed me to hear the gospel and led me to repent of my sin before God. Hearing truth from Scripture softened my heart to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and since then, I have seen slow but sure changes in my life. Though I still struggle to see academics and my relationship rightly from time to time, God has been growing me to trust in him. I can enjoy these things as blessings from God rather than a means to my own ends, and I'm learning to put my faith in God and not my circumstances. I know to recognize and repent of my sins before God early and often, and the importance of my life having a more upward and outward bent rather than focusing so much on myself. The path of a Christian life is a long one, and justification and becoming reborn in Christ is only the beginning. This morning, I desire to be baptized out of obedience to Christ and to publicly declare before my family, friends, and Lighthouse Church family that my allegiance is with him. May the Lord continue to sanctify and grow me each day to become more like him.
Good morning. This is Sally. I'm Sally. Okay. I was born and raised in a Christian family. I was baptized as an infant. I grew up in the church being taught about Jesus and the gospel message. I had knowledge that I was a sinner, Jesus died for my sins, and that he was my Lord and Savior. But it wasn't until I was at a middle school church camp that I truly understood the gospel, and I remember repenting of my sins and wanting to live my life for Jesus. However, over the years, I did not live for Christ in the way I expected. After getting married, my life moved even further from God. Although I made sure that my children attended church, my own personal desire for Christ was fading, and at some point, I stopped attending church altogether. I still identified as a Christian, but my life was centered around myself. My priorities in life were the pursuit of happiness and success for my family. My goal was to raise my children to be successful, which I believe meant going to a high-ranking university and having good careers. Then 3 years ago, my sister suddenly died of cancer. I started to ask God how he could allow this tragedy to befall a good person and also to our Christian family. As I was distraught and searching for answers, my friend Angie directed me to Christ and his word. God, in his faithfulness and providence, kept our friendship alive since we first met in high school at age 15. Angie downloaded a Bible app onto my phone, which I began to listen to. As I read the entire Bible for the first time, God began to change my heart. He opened my eyes to my sins and convinced me to change my ways. Not long after that, the Lord led me to a Bible study group where my faith in him continued to grow. It is there where I learned that belonging to a local church is crucial to the life of a Christian. The weekly meetings have truly been a blessing to me. I'm not only learning about God and Scripture, but I've come to value the friendships as well. The last 3 years have been the most difficult period of my life by far. I lost my sister, lost my father, and had a serious health scare. However, it has been the most spiritually fulfilling period of my life. Through the difficulties, I met God again. Through the darkness, God gave me light. God, in his abundant mercies, grace, compassion, and love, held my hand and kept me from falling, lifted me up, restored me, and renewed me. God has changed my life in so many ways. The Lord recently led me to this church. I'm thankful for the Lighthouse Church family that helps me to grow in my relationship with God.
I've come to know God more personally and intimately through my prayers and daily scripture reading. My perspective on life has changed as I now look toward what is heavenly and eternal, for I know heaven is my home, where I shall live with the Lord for eternity. The Lord has even helped me to reconcile my estranged relationship with my mother-in-law. Because I know that God forgave me when I was a sinner, I can seek peace and reconciliation with others. Now and forever, I wish to live a lifestyle of worship that will glorify God, trusting in Him and walking in His ways. I'm being baptized today as an act of obedience to Christ, as well as expressing to my family, friends, and Lighthouse Church that I've recommitted my life to Christ. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley, and I'm excited to share my testimony with you this morning. I'm blessed to have been part of the Christian community all of my life. I learned the gospel in Sunday school and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior during VBS. At the time, I don't think I really understood what this meant, but I believe that this was one of the first instances where I felt God calling me to obey His will. During middle school, I was your typical Christian kid who studied hard, listened to her parents, never cussed, and attended church on Friday nights and Sunday mornings. But it wasn't until I attended Mount Hermon when I first started to take my faith more seriously. There, I learned what devotionals were and started reading the Bible outside of church, and I found myself talking to God throughout my day. However, I realized that this was just a spiritual high when I entered high school, and my faith was no longer a priority as I got busier with sports and classes and stopped going to church regularly. By the time I was entering college, God put a desire in my heart to rekindle my faith, and I came to UCLA knowing that I wanted to join a Christian fellowship on campus. I saw how much my sister had grown spiritually in college through AACF, so I was curious about joining as well. I was surprised and inspired to see all these other students who are dedicated to following Jesus. They spent time reading the Bible, praying, and they talked about their faith in casual conversations. Being a part of a small group was especially helpful to hear how my sisters in Christ were living out their faith, and also just discovering that they struggled with similar things as myself, like being consistent and intentional with their time with God and others. Finding Lighthouse was also a push from God in the right direction. I learned that church was not only a social obligation, but an opportunity to grow, and I found myself looking forward to Sundays where I could learn more about God. I stopped being a Sunday Christian and enjoyed reflecting on sermons throughout the week, during devos, and sharing about them in my small group. However, when COVID forced everyone into quarantine, I realized how dependent I was on others to continue in my faith. As I lost my main sources of accountability through in-person fellowship and small groups, I reverted back to my old ways of living selfishly and ignoring God. And whenever I reconnected with the Christian community, I came back to God and repented for my sinful ways. This cycle continued for about a year and a half, and I felt myself just being swept up by the faith of those around me or devoting myself to God whenever it was convenient. God allowed me to experience those ups and downs to show me my need to have a personal relationship with Him. Because Jesus died for sinners like me, I am able to come back to God no matter my sin because of His undeserved love for me. He has graciously placed so many people in my life that have allowed me to mature spiritually, especially my roommate Lauren, who I talk to every day about our spiritual walks and struggles. These people encourage me to act on my faith and get baptized, and I'm excited to proudly proclaim my faith here today. God has also blessed me by giving me a lot of non-Christian friends who I hope to reach out to. I know that I will continue to sin and experience spiritual woes, but I also know that God will always bring me back and that sanctification is a lifelong process, and I want to serve Him for the rest of my life.
Hello, everyone. My name is Caleb Kira, and I'll be sharing my testimony. So for those who do not know, I am the oldest of Pastor Kim's kids, which means I have been raised in the church all my life. I am roughly the age of the church, and I've been blessed to have been surrounded by great Christian influences my whole life, along with godly, loving parents who have always raised me well to know Christ, which I am incredibly grateful for. However, although this is a huge blessing that I would not trade for anything, it did affect me in various ways. Because I was a pastor's kid and raised in the church, I knew all the Bible stories early on. I knew all the right answers, and I knew how to act in a godly manner. With all of these things seemingly mastered in my earlier years, I thought I was a good Christian. But though I believed in God, in his word, and in the gospel, it took me a little while to understand the gravity of the gospel. Because of this, But though I believe in God and his word, it took me a while to understand the gravity of the gospel. Because of this, I felt like I was not a bad person, and I did most of the right things most of the time. I built up pride in my heart and felt I was better than most. However, it was around middle school where I truly began to understand what the gospel meant for me. Around 6th or 7th grade, I went to a youth camp where I began to take the gospel more seriously. In the messages, they focused on the gravity of our sin in our lives and the insanity of the gospel. It was there that I began to realize with more clarity, wow, I am really messed up. I began to truly see my sin for what it was, rather than seeing myself as pretty good on a scale of horrible to amazing. This realization made me so much more thankful for the gospel and what it meant for a sinful soul like me. Thankfully, God did not stop there, but continued to work in me. After this, various struggles were becoming more and more prevalent in my life. I began to see the enticing and deceptive aspects of the world that I did not see previously, and became more and more obvious how weak my faith was. I hated my sin and constantly felt guilty that I was making no progress in my walk with God, even though I truly desired change from my sinful ways. I really felt like I was the only one going through these kinds of struggles, and that I needed to simply become better. I needed to be more put together, like everyone else seemingly was. And I believed that this was something that I could change by myself. But again, God was gracious. He once again used a time in a retreat to impress upon me a simple but important truth. I was not alone. First, God provided others. Though I was a sinner in desperate need of a Savior, I learned how we are meant to walk in faith together with other believers. It was both a huge comfort and humbling experience for me to, for the first time, tell others what I was going through and that I was not doing well. But not only did God provide others, but even more importantly, I realized that God himself was constantly with me. God is the one who enacts change. Through it all, I found that godliness was something to strive after with others, and that through the Holy Spirit working in us to renew and change our hearts every day, we can become more like Christ. Through placing people in my life who are struggling in the same ways, I was encouraged in my walk with God. In summary, throughout these times, I learned that I am far from perfect. I am a sinful, corrupt person, and am deserving of nothing other than punishment. But in my need and in my corrupted self, God wanted me and chose me to be with him. He wanted me in all my mistakes, all my mishaps, and all my rebellion, and he works in my life to change me more and more every day. It's amazing that God would do all of this for me. I am certainly not perfect now, but I am thoroughly convinced that my weakness is where God shines brightest. As 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.' Although I am imperfect, I am confident that God can use my imperfection for his greater plan. And amazingly, he has put me with others so that God can use our weaknesses and our brokenness and fit us together to create something far greater and more beautiful than the pieces could ever be apart. To God be the glory."